Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
Yeah, I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, halfway through the month of September as we ramble toward Halloween.
Yep. Or rambling, and what are you going to be this year?
I'm going to become a character.
A character of what? A caricature of yourself? Yeah, there we go. Caricature of yourself. That sounds good. Last couple of years, we've been going to this thing called the Grand Ghoul, which is a charity event, and my wife is like, oh, we have to match, you know, we have to be like Netflix and chill, we have to be like Batman and Batgirl and all that, and I always get a costume ahead of her, so that I don't want to go matching. It's so queer.
Well, why does she want to go matching? It's just, this makes it more fun,
I guess. It's just cute. Look at that couple. Look at, they love each other because they match. They're really in sync. They talk to each other.
Yeah, I think both wear cat costumes.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Well, we do have a lot to talk about. Let me just tell you something. There is a heap of stuff going on here, and kind of give you a little bit of a preview of some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. We have drone attacks on Saudi oil installations that ramped oil prices higher. Oil stocks in the U.S. rally, then they're shot down. We have gas prices up 10%, and I just have to look out of my window, and this gas station next door seemingly has a ticker of what oil prices are, and they just immediately increase the price of fuel. Then gas prices come down, and we have a Fed rate decision tomorrow. So pretty exciting stuff.
Lively week.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night was incredible. When the futures opened, and they started coming down pretty strong on this whole Saudi Arabia thing that went on, and the drones, whether from Yemen or the Houthis or Iran or whoever it was from, oil was halted initially. The markets wouldn't open. There was some trading imbalances, and then shot up 15%, which was the largest move for oil futures on record in one day. I guess,
and then since came back down, didn't it?
Yeah, it came back down. So what happened was, we have this one day move. The shorts obviously got totally cremated. And then, of course, we're thinking, well, why is it moving so much? Because all the reports that we see, that Saudi Arabia only supplies about 5% of the oil in the world. So why are we seeing this? And there's lots of inventories over there. China has massive inventories. We are major pumpers and refiners of fuel here. President Trump says he's going to release the strategic oil reserves. All this stuff, you know, is going in. As a matter of fact, he announced it 2 minutes to 6 o'clock on Sunday evening that the oil reserves will become available if need be to stabilize the price of oil right before futures open. So if that doesn't tell you that the White House and administration is very focused on markets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 2 minutes right before the open of futures on Sunday evening. Then there was concern that, well, how long is this going to last? Is it going to be an escalation? And all this is going through the minds of traders, right? And just one day later, Saudi Arabia says, you know, we think we can get this back online much faster.
Yeah, that was the good one.
Much faster than anticipated.
It looks worse than it is.
Yeah. But what's interesting is they really don't have a terrible incentive, besides the fact that obviously they need to pump this fuel. But if they extended it out a little bit, if they kept this thing going for a while and said, well, it's going to take a little while to get it all back running, and, you know, we got to make sure it's good and do the testing, oil prices could stay escalated for a while, and that's good for them.
Yeah, you'd think so. I wonder, well, maybe that was the reason for Trump calling Ben Solomon, because there was a conversation.
Hey, Benny boy, got a chat. So, I don't know. This whole thing was pretty ugly. The question is, where is it going to lead? I thought the timing of this was really interesting. We're going to talk about that in a second. But We saw airlines stocks move dramatically on Monday, then came back up today because, of course, the high price of oil. Transportation stocks as well got hit. Retail stocks did better. All the things that you would expect to move with oil actually moved. And the other thing we're going to talk about is the weird activity in money markets. And I think we need to start with this, get back to the oil issue, because I think I have that somewhere on the list. Let's make sure I have the oil issue here, because I do want to mention this one thing. Maybe not. I guess I don't have this. So anyway,
leave something off the list.
I don't know. I was just thinking that I wanted to kind of, there was something about oil, the whole oil issue that I wanted to talk about, but it's not really here, I guess. Along with what's going on in the oil patch, which did help our stocks here, by the way, a lot of the stocks inside of the, U.S., the oil stocks, oil-related stocks, you know, the drillers, the refiners, had an incredibly good day on Monday. Somewhere up 30, 40%.
Wow.
So the whole idea that, you know, oil, high oil prices are bad really didn't play out, because what even though the markets probably should have come down a bit because of the concern about more Middle East tensions and all that's going on around oil, what actually happened was the realization that the U.S. is a major exporter and energy independent when it comes to oil. And therefore...
Yeah, that didn't stop your gas station across the street from jacking up the prices.
No, of course not. And do you think they'll take it down anytime soon?
Maybe with the traffic, if business dries up, maybe.
Somehow this gas station is always about 30 or 40 cents more than every other gas station in the area. And people seem to go there all the time. I went in there to buy some like gum, and I think I bought a gum and a Diet Coke, and it was like $4.50. And I said, "Well, what's the story?" This place says, "Sir, this is not a grocery store. It's a convenience store. You have to pay the convenience fee." I'm like, "Oh, okay." But oil prices were up, and stocks really did well. Like I said, a lot of the stocks that were left for dead for a while. Oh, and so this is what I was getting to. The point was that this weird rationalization was going on once again, where, okay, oil prices are up. Well, it doesn't really affect the consumer that much. It's going to be transitory. And in fact, it's going to help the bottom line earnings for oil companies. That's good for the S&P 500. Oil prices drop. Well, that frees up excess money for the consumer. And the truth of the matter is that the energy sector really doesn't have a big component of the S&P 500 earnings. So therefore, it's good for the S&P 500. You follow this logic?
Can't lose.
Can't lose. I'm watching these discussions over the last couple of days going, what is wrong with people? And do they actually schedule people to say these things? Is this a concerted effort to make sure the markets don't drop? So, all right.
Really got to keep it propped up until the election.
At least. So... speaking of elections, what was the result of Israel? I saw that Netanyahu doesn't have a majority.
That's a good question, because I should know and I don't.
Yeah, I think that was the last. I think they're still picking through the data.
Yeah.
But it looked to me that Netanyahu did not get a majority. So we have something that I really am scratching the surface of here, but a lot of people probably are interested in. As a matter of fact, it was mentioned in the chat room already. And this is the whole idea of some kind of chaos in the money market area. The liquidity in banks is drying up, and this is usually the case at the end of the month where there has to be tax payments and end of month, end of quarter kinds of things that come around. But the Fed injected $75 billion into the system overnight. This is the first time they did this since, I think, 2008 or 2009, give or take. So they did this because... There was this funding pressures caused by a sudden scarcity of cash. And the cost of borrowing cash on overnight basis via repurchasing agreements, known as repos, surged. Some of them reached 10%. It's like a 400% increase from where they were. And a senior executive at a large U.S. bank said the sharp rise in the so-called repo rate reflect a pretty sizable dislocation between funding needs and funding, which is a key portion of the U.S. money market area. So there's something going on that I really don't understand what it was at this exact point that all of a sudden there was a need for a $75 billion injection. There's going to be, I think, another $50 billion injected tomorrow on Wednesday.
Huh.
Again, I'm not clear. I read a variety of articles on this, and I'm still not understanding why, in fact, there is this sudden need for cash and why we're not talking about $3 million, $10 million, $100 million. We're talking about $75 billion. That's not a rounding error. That's not something that all of a sudden crops out of nowhere. So maybe there was some issue when it came to banks, I don't know, being short on the oil side or something to do with the oil move that would have created such an incredible need for cash.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're closer to it than I am.
Yeah, I'll try to do some more research for this coming up because something's doesn't smell right. But it's you know, you don't, it's again, it's not like you saw it go from 2.5% to 4%. I mean, these overnight lending rates went to 10%. And this is ahead of a Fed that is supposed to be cutting rates. There's 100% probability of a rate cut tomorrow by 25 basis points.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens.
Makes zero sense.
2 p.m. tomorrow. China, more bad news out of China. We have industrial production continuing to slow. We do have the potential for an interim trade deal. Oh, this is precious. This is good stuff. This is exactly what we talked about. That Trump created an issue. He stirred the pot. And now he's going to solve the problem.
That he created.
That he created.
Yeah.
So, and what they talked about is that there's going to be the idea that, well, maybe what we'll do is that we will solve the easy stuff first. You know, the orders of agricultural products and the cross trade issues and maybe leveling the playing field in terms of trade. And we'll leave the hard stuff to later on. We will maybe work on the technology and intellectual property issues after this is all done. And I'm thinking, you know what, if you do that, because you have them in such a stranglehold right now, right? The Chinese are in a stranglehold right now, a bear hug, whatever you want to call it, a sleeper move.
Are they?
Well, they are in terms of the pressure that we're putting on them right now compared to where they were. So we're at the height of pressure right now compared to where we have been, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, compared to nothing, yes. Yeah.
So at the height of pressure, and now what you're going to do is back off. And by even saying that we may do an interim trade deal, China is probably going like, ha, 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 we got them. I mean, this is another blink.
This is sounding more and more like WWE. You know, a wrestling match.
Oh, I know. It is. It shows the weakness in the U.S. position, though. It's just a lot of horse blather and, you know, just loudness for no reason. There's no way that if they do the short-term stuff now, which gives leverage in the U.S. over China from an economic standpoint, that they'll even think about coming back to the table doing anything else. Why should they?
Yeah, well, I don't know what he's up to. I have no idea.
I think that he wants to make sure I think he thinks the market is more important, and saying that he got a deal done, like, so we got the best deal ever that was ever created by mankind with China recently.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
You know, we're going to get this deal done.
It's tremendous. It's a tremendous deal.
Tremendous deal. And we're told it's going to be very good for the farmers. It's going to be good for America. It's better than we had. And it only may be an incremental differential. But everybody I know is focusing on the whole idea of, you know what, all the trade stuff, put that aside. The intellectual property and the theft of goods and the technology issues when it comes to spying or just blatant ripoffs is the core issue that we're really dealing with here. If that's not fixed, that's a problem.
That has to be fixed. That's actually the reason for the whole trade imbalance. I mean, China goes from a country that has no clue about precision engineering to making almost all the world's fine cameras now, you know, the expensive ones. They make all this really high-end stuff out of the blue. hard disks are made there.
You know, I have one of those mirrorless cameras now. Have you seen these in action?
Well, yeah, I have a mirrorless camera.
Yes, I got the Sony A7S. Quite the...
That's a high-end camera.
Yeah, and we use that for the video work.
Takes a nice picture.
Yep, that's the ones that's the one I use to take pictures in Africa with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
South Africa. I want to share a story with you. And this is unfortunately happened already, but it's something we would have talked about that would have been great to discuss. I tweeted about this early this morning because before the market opened today, FedEx, they came out with an announcement that they were hiking their rates starting in 2020.
FedEx?
Yeah, FedEx.
It's not expensive enough?
No. Never. Starting in 2020, they're going to hike rates.
Well, and I haven't used them for years because they used to be a fairly reasonable alternative to the Postal Service and UPS. Now I wouldn't even bother.
It's like it could be $25, $30 for an overnight letter.
Yeah.
I mean, you do the three-day thing. It's like $12 to $15. I have to use them every so often. But, you know, maybe once a month for some kind of document that I have to do for some regulatory issue that it's the only way they take it is actual. And how do you track it? I could have used the mail service and used the whole tracking system, but that's $5 or $6. It's just easier to use FedEx with all that tracking. But FedEx comes out and they announce that they're going to have for shipments starting in 2020, a 4 to a 6% rate hike on this, okay? Earnings were due after the close. And I said, you know, this reminds me of something. And it took me a second and I said, you know what? This kind of looks a little fishy. It reminds me about what Netflix did. And why are they announcing a price hike so close to the earnings call? Why, if it's going to be a price hike, why not just announce it during your earnings call? And I remember when Netflix did this, when they hiked their price and they came out with their numbers, they were awful. Stock dropped a bit, but then came back up. But ahead of the actual, they did a couple days in advance, ahead of the actual earnings call, their stock moved up nicely. Now, here's the punchline. FedEx comes out with earnings after the close. Missed on all metrics. Blames the trade tensions for the miss. Stock is down 9% after hours. So these are little things you got to, the tea leaves you have to read in the markets.
Well, I do know that FedEx has a lot of action in China. And the prices that the Chinese are paying to use FedEx are probably a loss leader. I can't see how they could possibly be making money.
And they lost a lot of the Amazon business?
And they lost the Amazon business by kind of, yeah.
So if they lose the Amazon business, what's left? Letters and small parcels. Obviously, they have a lot of business. But that was a big chunk. So I don't know what everybody's so excited in trying to push FedEx pricing up, especially with this kind of announcement. Of course, so the two things that FedEx did was this. One, they tried to make you look over here instead of looking over there with the whole price hike thing, saying, hey, you know what? And the subtext was, if we may miss tonight, but if we do, the good news is we're raising rates to shore up our earnings. The second thing was blaming trade tensions for the miss. And by doing that, clearly tells you that they have a problem with their business. This is the new weather. The new weather excuse is trade tensions.
Isn't the way to get your business back on track is to lower prices?
Lower price. Well, yeah. If you have pricing power, obviously it's good to move it higher. But yes, if you're having some problems and leakage, probably lowering prices and doing better in service would be something that would be beneficial. I mean, if they said, you know, we're going to go back to pricing that we had in whatever it was, maybe more people would start using them. That's the point, right?
I don't think anybody uses it. Even the FedEx Ground is too expensive.
Yeah, FedEx overall is very expensive. So the stock is down. We'll see what happens moving forward with this. But if, in fact, we do see continuation of the trade tensions, oil prices hurt them as well. I'm surprised they didn't really mention that as a front. Oh, the oil prices and with this is going to be even more of an issue. Actually, with oil prices, I think FedEx has a surcharge that they put onto their fee. They have a floating surcharge dependent. They have to do that. You can't lock in a price with oil.
Well, you can if you have long-term fuel contracts.
Or you hedge out, right? That's true. And they do. So FedEx, just a little lesson there to consider when you hear these things in the market and look at the timing that may be suspect. There's always these kinds of little breadcrumb trails that are left out there if you read them properly. From the will it ever end category, three House committee members on Monday began investigating reports by efforts by President Trump and his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to pressure the government of the Ukraine to assist Trump's reelection campaign by having Ukraine probe former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Now, the Ukraine, of all the countries, why them?
Well, Biden's son has a huge interest in some gold mining or some oil fields or some, maybe it's fracking, but he's got a major, major position in the in Ukraine that, a lot of people believe was set up during the period when Biden was VP.
Oh, so they're wondering if there was a some kind of a political pressure put on during that period
corrupt
of time.
Corrupt deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like there's none of those going on right now with the Trump family.
No, it never goes on.
Nope. So, but you know, I remember looking at Joe Biden when he was, I think when he was president, vice president, looking into his financials, and he had like a net worth of $250,000 or something like that at the time.
Yeah, something like that.
Something really low. I don't know. So maybe he's not involved in this with his son, or maybe put it all in his son's name.
The numbers are not the same. They're way up there.
Yeah, well, he got book deals.
For some unknown reason.
Well, he got book deals. He got speaking engagements. What did you think of the Democratic debate the other night? Did you watch it?
I didn't think it was very good. I thought it was boring.
Oh, terrible.
And I thought nothing really stood out except Castro kind of made a fool out of himself. And everything else is pretty much the same. It was very, very ordinary.
Castro looked stupid. He looked dumb.
Well, he looked like a punk.
And he looked really dumb. And then there was a couple of interesting one-liners put out there, but this is not a snappy crew.
No. And the thing that bothers me, I've said it on the No Agenda show every Thursday at 9 o'clock.
That's 12 o'clock Eastern, by the way.
I find it distressing that you have 10 people and they're holding their hands up like they're in the sixth grade trying to draw the attention of the teacher so they can answer a question. I just find it creepy to see that. This is not a presidential thing to do. Call on me, call on me. I just don't like it. I think it, you know, even when I've never seen Trump do that.
So would you prefer like a little clicker, like in Jeopardy, or a light or something?
Well, the point is that's supposed to be handled by the moderators. It's not supposed to be a free-for-all up there. And as you're not in class, you know, asking to be called on, you're supposed to be called on in a certain order. And if somebody mentions another person, then they have to respond. There's that whole holding the hands up to get attention or booming in over the microphone. That's all against the rules. I don't even know why they do it.
You know what really irks me about the debates that I recently saw? This whole starting off in Spanish and then going into a different, and then going back to English and then go back to Spanish. Yeah, what is that terrible about?
I don't know.
And then
showing off.
The moderator did that too.
Well, one of the moderators was Spanish.
I know, but still, you know what I mean? If you have.
Yeah, I know. It's like watching a boxing match in Mexico City.
It's ridiculous. And I find it really off-putting that they
it's
do that.
It's very off-putting.
It is. It's like, you know, showing my bling that I could speak another language. And why is it always Spanish? Why isn't it French? Why isn't it Swahili?
How about Chinese?
It could be anything, but you got to come up with that. And then, or the worst is when they're doing a sentence and they're going through it and then they throw a couple of Spanish words in there with that Spanish accent, you know, hi, my name is Andrew Horowitz and I'm from Santa Barbara. You know, I mean, how you have to come with the accent into it.
The newsmen do that a lot now. Pronounce it like the locals.
So annoying. So annoying. North Korea is stepping up its game. The U.S. Treasury Department said Friday that North Korea state-sponsored hacking groups attacked critical infrastructure, drawing illicit funds that ultimately funded the country's weapons and missile programs. The group launched ransomware campaigns, among other types of attacks, according to the Treasury announcement. And the direct link to North Korea's missile program creates further ethical hurdles for companies, insurers, and municipalities that may decide whether or not to pay ransoms to criminal groups that have locked up their files. So what are they saying? That you don't want to pay ransom because you think you're going to get nuked? Or is it that if you can pay ransom, you're going to be paying for their missile program?
This is kind of a baffling story in that regard. First of all, how much does North Korea have to do with these ransomware deals? And because I think the smart money thinks they come from Eastern European, Ukraine, Romania, places like that. And if you have pretty good, if you have good protection on your machine and you back it up every, let's say just do a complete mirror backup once a week, you're not going to really have this issue. I don't understand how this happens in the first place.
I told you the story.
It's just careless.
I have a friend who they have a very significant system with offsite and onsite. And for whatever reason, the infection got weirdly through. Because a lot of these are not just a hack job. It's a spoof or some other kind of Trojan horse that comes in with the authentication of somebody with high-end privileges on the system, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
So that once it gets in there, but I agree with you. I mean, then does it look for your backups? You know,
it shouldn't be doing that.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't be.
Especially if you're doing your backups that are kind of like. Well, if you're doing one of those kind of running backups where the thing is, you know, constantly backing up every time it gets a new. Oh, there's a new file. Let me back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just constantly. Yeah, then I think you're going to end up with some issues. It just seems to me. But if you're doing these standalone backups that are kind of separate from the other functioning of the other functionality of the machine, in other words, it's not something that is that the machine is initiating as a routine, but you're doing it by hand. I think you can avoid these things.
But if it is affecting your machine to a point that you are locked out of your machine, the only way to do it is to scrub the machine down. And then
you pull a hard disk out.
Right. Pull the hard disk out, restart.
Put a backup hard disk in.
Yeah. They're going to have to come up with some kind of a hot swappable deal for computers now in the event
it's not that hard. I mean, I use a, just off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the product, but it's you can mirror what's going on right now. And then you put it you do it on another disk. So, and then you don't do it constantly. You just do it. I do it once a month.
Right.
I don't worry about it. I can lose some data, but if I just pull out the infected disk and put the old one in, and I'm a month behind now, and I can probably recreate most of that stuff. I don't know. It just seems to me to be. I mean, if it happens to me, I'd be probably singing a different tune, but. Smart guy should be able to keep this from happening.
Yeah. Anyway, watch out for those ransomware deals and be careful with your emails. You know, I recently switched to Microsoft 365 for my email servers. And I got to tell you, that does a great job at scrubbing junk emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, versus my old server that I had to buy a secondary, even though I had spam filters on there. I had to buy a secondary protection where I had to loop my emails through to get them, and I would still get a ton of junk emails. This, I got to tell you, I would say about 98%, maybe even 99%, to be honest with you, of junk email is stopped dead in its tracks. Right with basic settings.
Are you using Microsoft Exchange? Are you using?
It's called Microsoft.
What is your email?
It's Exchange, but it's Microsoft 365, they call it now.
I know about Microsoft 365. Yeah. I use that too, but I don't use the email function.
Yeah, I have the business email function where I have all the email servers set up there. So all my MX records go to the Microsoft 365 email servers.
Okay.
Works pretty well. We have some IPO issues coming up. I talked about, and you and I discussed the Peloton, which is that bicycle, and they have a treadmill. But music publishers have asked a federal judge to let them double their lawsuit against Peloton Interactive to $300 million, saying that the maker of stationary bicycles has streamed more than 2,000 workout videos used without permission. So if you understand how this works, basically you have a screen in front of you. You can enter a class or you can go on a ride with somebody else, and kind of you have this in front of you, so you have an interactive process. And during that, I guess it was like the spin classes at the clubs where they play music.
Yeah, well, probably illegally there too.
Right, but these guys did it, and they probably were able to record that and note the time when it was happening. So the National Music Publishers Association said they're suing them for copyright infringement. And these allegedly illegal songs are from Adele, Beyonce, Ariana Grande, John Legend, Room 5. And they want to add 1,324 songs to their lawsuit. Now, I think this is really interesting because just as Peloton announced their IPO with the knowledge of the base lawsuit that was already standing there, now all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what? We're going to double that. We want $300 million. Peloton's looking to raise about $1.3 billion. Wondering if this is just a pre-IPO squeeze.
Yeah. What do you think? Of course it is.
Yeah. Pay it off. We'll leave you alone. Proceed to the IPO.
Give them some shares.
Yeah. I think that this is a very classic vice grip on the company. Because who's going to want to invest in a company in an IPO that has this kind of overhang?
Yeah, this is like having a lien on somebody's property, and then they go to try to sell it. They won't give you the money, but you put a lien on it. Now it's in the court records, and you're going to have trouble selling the property unless you pay the lien.
Yep.
Old trick.
So one of the things, folks, if you've listened for any time at all, you know a couple of things. You know, number one, that No Agenda with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry are on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. They do a bang-up show, deconstructing the news. Of course, you also know that The Disciplined Investor every weekend. I had a story this weekend that I shared with about a party I went to the night before and talked about this gent who just made every excuse in the book not to invest, and he's never invested. And he's 50. So kind of an interesting story and what I took out of it and some insights for you. But the other thing that you probably know is that John is an avid watcher of the economy through the eyes of a freight train. Right?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
So what's happening there? Because I have some actual data for you tonight.
Yeah, you sent me that link to the Bloomberg report talking about the same thing. I'm doing it on a kind of a ad hoc basis based on the one sighting I have over here that I can look at. And I will say before I go on with this, is half the cars are now gone.
Huh.
Something happened. They took them.
The article that he's talking about is from Bloomberg. It's about the Case CASS Freight Index, which is a monthly measure of rail and trucking and air freight volume. So it dropped 3% in August from a year earlier, which is the ninth consecutive month of declines, which coincides with the ad hoc viewing of freight trains outside of John's window, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's the ad hoc. I don't count freight trains, even though that would be very valuable, but it'd be almost impossible. But I do count the cars that are parked on the siding that are sitting there doing nothing. I noticed this back because I used to live in a house years ago that was also had the same view of these tracks from actually it was closer to the tracks in this place. And that's when I saw during the 70s, I saw that I picked up the boxcar count. They could store these boxcars forever. And it just as the economy was just in the toilet. And when the boxcars all disappeared some years into the Reagan administration, I knew things were popping.
Hmm. Well, one of the things that they said about this report is the shipment index has gone from a warning sign of potential slowdown to signaling an economic contraction, according to commentary within this report. They say that we see a growing risk that GDP will go negative by year's end. And they also noted that Weakness in demand is being seen across most modes of transportation, both domestically and international, with many experiencing increases in the rate of decline, which is also confirmed by what we just heard from FedEx. So there's some consistency here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
So,
all right, except for the fact that a bunch of these cars have gone missing.
Mm. Maybe they're going to be turned into like millennial apartments.
Maybe they're just going to chop them up.
Where was I that I saw? I was somewhere this summer. Where did I go this summer that I saw this?
There used to be a guy. This is a story I heard from when I was an air pollution inspector. I used to do Schnitzer Steel was one of the places I had to deal with. And they told a story of this guy who had leased a bunch of gondola cars, like, I don't know, 300 of them. And he took them and he hooked them to a train and they took them to a place to chop them up and put the scrap metal in, like they chop up half the cars and put the scrap metal in the other half of the gondola cars, take it to a recycling center, dump it off, and then chop up another batch and put them in the leftover cars. And then they do that to those no cars left except one. And I don't know if the guy got away. I guess the guy got away with that. I don't know. Hmm. But he just, there's one way to get rid of these cars. You just chop them up.
Put them to the shredder. Amazon is being charged with changing their search. Or there's some kind of, I don't know, there's something going on where there's concern about the way the search algorithm works because it's boosting its own products. Now I'm thinking, are we going to go after a company that tries to promote their own products? That seems to be counterintuitive. I mean, if you go to Macy's and they have their own brand, do you think, and if they put those in the front, or maybe had a lower price on those?
What would you expect them to do?
I don't understand what the problem
is. They're
not
obligated to sell somebody else's products before they sell their own.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, where's the obligation to do that?
Yeah.
Because they see Amazon as something of a monopoly, and so then they're abusing their market power.
Yeah, which is totally ridiculous. I don't see any reason why they can't promote their own unless they do something like put that at the top of the list constantly on like customer preferred or ratings if it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Costco does kind of the same thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I expect companies that have their own product to promote their own product. I mean, that is kind of the way business works. Banks, on the other hand,
you can't buy the other stuff if you're a smart buyer. Right,
if you know what to buy, of course. Remember when banks were packaging up mortgages into securities and selling them at on a package basis?
Yes, of course.
Securitization. Banks are back at it again. Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo are getting back to the securitized deals. There you go. You know that goes.
Oh, why? It didn't work. I mean, it worked before until, of course, the whole economy collapsed because of it. But let's do it again.
Let's do it again. This time will be different. We promise. Purdue Pharma has filed for bankruptcy protection with a partial deal aimed to resolve thousands of lawsuits filed by state and local municipalities accusing it of fueling the opioid crisis. Now, one of the things that's really interesting in this is the Sackler family has been seemingly pushing money outside. The New York Attorney General found that $1 billion in previously undisclosed wire transfers were sent by the Sackler family before this whole deal got done to probably try to avoid further confiscation.
Getting soaked, yeah.
Yep. So I expect them to do that as well. So there you go. Two things we expect people to do. The auto workers union of GM was going on strike. Who cares? I mean, I care, but who cares? Vapes. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill to restrict flavored e-cigs in response to recent nationwide concern. Andrew Cuomo of New York also did so. China today pulls Juul from many of its sales sites, like JD.com. Mm. So people are getting pretty worked up about this whole thing. Rightfully so, I think.
Well, wife made the comment. She said, why are people getting so worked up about this? Cigarettes kill like 400,000 people a year.
So what you're saying is natural selection.
Well, vapes would kill like five people.
I guess they, I don't know what the reason is, but somehow there is a concern that they don't know exactly what the deal is with vapes, and there is no, common regulations on the chemicals that
The way, actually, on the No Agenda show, Adam Kerr has done a very deep dive, probably too deep, a deep dive into this, and his assumptions and conclusions are this is just a part of the industry trying to consolidate and get the little guys out of the way.
Huh. That's possible.
Bring the government in, because then you have to have everything approved, and it costs you like $1 million to get something, one flavor approved. It's not worth it.
Wow. That makes sense, actually. I wouldn't doubt that. It's kind of like the oil companies, you know, trying to create problems for wind and solar. Right?
Yeah. My conclusion, by the way, on trying to create problems for everybody or even promoting some of this stuff, which is not necessarily very efficient, I'm starting to think that maybe it's the nuclear power industry that's really behind it all.
Behind the vaping?
No, about wind and solar and promoting these alternative systems that don't really work, but at the same time slamming fossil fuels.
So there's a third player, you're saying?
Yeah, nobody mentions this.
Third player
there
in the
wings. There is a third player, and everyone, you can't have that.
More bank scamming. The J.P. Morgan traders, three of them, were trading in gold and other precious metals, may have been charged with alleged market manipulation by the U.S. Department of Justice. Between 2008 and 2016, Smith, Nowak, and Jordan allegedly manipulated the price of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium futures on the New York Merck Exchange and on the CME Commodity Exchange. So there's going to be a big old fine on that.
Hmm.
Yep.
I like that.
Yep. We did. Oh, a big thank you to all the people that donated last week. You got some emails from us thanking you for that. And that does come in handy. We do have shirt inflation, as you do know. But it's real helpful if anybody listening here hasn't done so already. We're kind of doing a quick fundraiser, if you will, to get all the things that we need to keep this thing going. Donate at will. Over at dhunplugged.com. A couple of bucks you could do monthly, $10 a month, or few people plunk down a couple of bucks in a nice way this last show. So go over to donate at dhunplugged.com. It's all in the show notes for episode number 473. dhunplugged.com. Okay. More information about what's happening with IPOs as we have been following very closely. We've been talking about the WeWork IPO.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
I find it interesting, too. And I find it interesting because people love this company.
What's to love? It's an office.
I don't know. It's just, I guess, people never worked in an office, or they never worked in an office that's kept clean, or I have no idea. I've actually never stepped foot in one of these places, but I've seen them once from the outside once in a while.
You should go in. You're probably more than welcome. You could probably work there, and nobody would even know you're not supposed to be working there.
Just find an empty room.
Just sit down.
Oh, look, there's an office in here. Oh, there's a phone. Let me just use this.
Yeah.
With a little label on the door.
So what happened was that they were valued at $47 billion as of the latest valuation pop, when SoftBank and a few other conglomerates and private equity firms put money into this private equity fund, you know, pre-IPO. Yeah. And then we saw that things like big loans, like a $4 billion loan is being taken pre-IPO, which kind of I was scratching my head about. Then we saw that the owner and founder pulled out like $750 million. And what owner and founder does that pre-IPO with it right around the corner, right?
That makes no sense.
Right. So now the valuation went to like $22 billion, $25 billion or something like that. Now, all of a sudden, the valuation may be cut again to as low as $10 to $15 billion. And now, as of just the most recent, SoftBank says it's going to invest another $750 million, which, again, makes no sense to me at all. This SoftBank is starting to look a little bit more like an Enron to me every day. or some of these other companies that just spread themselves way too thin?
It's always looked like that to me.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any evidence that it is. It just looks that way.
Well, WeWork is now pulling its IPO at least temporarily.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. So I just find it, though, amazing that a company is trying to put, I mean, $750 million is not a small piece of change. And that also tells me that the company's willing to sell pre-IPO at a cut rate price. Because otherwise they can just boost the value of the IPO and bring more money in at the market price.
Yeah.
The thing about this is it's an untested product. Because the real test will come during a job slowdown, during a recessionary period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The thing could fold.
Yeah. And the amount of money that they owe on a regular basis compared to what the variable amount that comes in. So they have a fixed price that they have to pay on a regular basis to pay for the buildings and the maintenance and the upkeep, the janitorial, all the things that go into that, right? But they have a variable rate of what comes in terms of rents.
Right. And it has a maximum.
It has a maximum. And right now they're way upside down too. So there's a real problem there. So what's happening is that Saudi Arabia's public investment fund and Abu Dhabi's Mubadala investment company are considering lowering future investments in the fund in light of the WeWork IPO process. So this is this whole SoftBank's Vision Fund and the SoftBank Fund. This, both of them are invested in that. From the oops category, a commercial flight with 326 people on board was forced to make an emergency landing when hot coffee was accidentally spilled over the cockpit controls over the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, God.
An Airbus.
I didn't see this story. This is funny.
An Airbus 330-243 flying to Cancun, Mexico.
Fly-by-wire yet.
Yeah, from Frankfurt, landing in Shannon in Ireland. When the hot liquid caused a strong electrical burning smell and smoke rising from the plane, from the panel, the captain said, you know, maybe, I'm thinking, maybe we should divert.
Yeah, I'd say.
You would think that there was some kind of a waterproof coating.
Or something, yeah. Yeah, you know that product, I don't even know what happened to this stuff. You remember that product that came out? You'd send your iPhone or any of your phones to this company and they dip it in some bath of some sort and they pull it out and dry it and then the phone became waterproof.
Right. Why don't they do that?
Yeah, you'd think the entire control panel from on an Airbus would be treated that way so that you could dump a cup of coffee on it. It shouldn't be a problem. I mean, it might be a problem cleaning it up later, but it shouldn't short it out.
Right. Crazy. So here's the question. Going back to the oil issue and going back to what we talked about possibly Iran being the dronies here, the people that did the firing for some reason. Do you think this is very suspicious timing that John Bolton was fired and then within a week, they're already pressing the edges on this? Iran's coming back and saying, you know what? He's gone. They're obviously not as tough as they thought they were. We're going to see how much we can push them.
I really doubt it.
I don't think
they pay that careful attention to things like that. I think it was, first of all, it could have been us that did it.
Ooh. And what would we do it for?
Jack up China because they use a lot. I mean, I think they're susceptible to. I was just watching one of these characters that moan and groan about the Chinese trade shenanigans and the way they handle their money, and they're apparently spending way too much money on fuel, oil. It's way up, and if the price goes up higher, it's going to ding them even more. I think that would be one good reason. To kind of mess with China in an offhanded way. Maybe to instigate a war with or a bombing raid or giving the Saudis the okay to go into a hot battle with Iran. I mean, we've been obviously going out of our way to get off of foreign oil to the point where if Iran and Saudi Arabia went to battle with each other like Iran did with Iraq, and they do hate each other, it wouldn't really affect us so much, but it might, you know, destabilize things in some way that we'd like. I don't know.
Let them
There's
do our dirty
possibilities,
work.
That's for sure.
So let them do our dirty work, our bidding.
Yeah, maybe.
Hmm. Not buying it.
Yeah.
Not buying it. What's going on with your essays? Anything new happening?
I was working on one to kind of, but it's not going to be that interesting.
That's good. I can't wait to read that one.
The third debate. It's not interesting because the party is so, I mean, there was nothing interesting that went on, but I do think that it's really locking Biden in. There's two factions going on right now. One is the Biden faction. The other one is the Warren faction. And different news organizations are siding with either one of these two guys. The Biden stuff, you know, he's like a kind of a fumbling guy and might not, I don't know if he could live through one term of being the president. And whoever's vice president is probably the most important person.
You think it's going to be a Biden-Warren or a Warren-Biden ticket? Well, he won't be.
Could be.
He won't want to be vice president again. Don't you think he'll see that as a demotion?
Warren?
No, Biden.
Oh, no, Biden can't do it. He's already been vice president. He's been there, done that.
You can't be vice president again?
He wouldn't do it with Sanders.
You can't do it again?
Yeah, you can. I think so. But I don't think he'd want to.
Hmm. Bernie Sanders looked like a little bit of a lunatic.
Yeah, he's great.
on this last one. I mean, he was really... You know, he's like a mad composer, like an orchestra leader. By the time he's done, the hair is just everywhere. You know, he's disheveled. He can't even speak. He was like, Bernie Sanders couldn't even talk last time. Needs a constant cough drop. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be something.
The problem is they're just not going to let him get this. I mean, he can fight all he wants. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I am concerned about markets with it. Anyway, let's get to the next portion of this. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. And thank you to that wonderful announcer. What do you notice again here?
Second time in a row, all green, all in the money. This is new. We have never seen this before.
It's almost too much to look at.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And, you know, your Aerojet Rocketdyne, it just doesn't stop. Just doesn't stop. It's up 57%. Kinder Morgan up 8.5%. Summer State flat. Netflix short is up 18.5%. Dish Networks is rocketing forward at up 10%. Planet Fitness, another short of mine, is up 7.5%. Symantec, long on your side, up 2%. Wyndham Hotels, up 7%. Zoom Video, I missed Red Rock Resorts, up 10%. And Zoom Video, up 5.5%. And At Home Group, your recent pick, is up 7%. So we picked both those
in
last
one
two.
1 week.
Yeah, 1 week, 7%, 5.8%. And the markets have not done a lot. I mean, they went up a little bit, but that's pretty good.
This is probably the time to look at insiders. And that was an insider pick. And I've actually got a couple more of those.
All right. I'll mention mine real quickly as you're looking for yours. I'm picking a stock named Funko, F-N-K-O. They make a variety of toys and games and other apparel and accessories. And they distribute. And they're on the West Coast. I believe they're on the West Coast. I'm pretty sure. But this stock, I've been waiting for the stock to come into support. And today it hit my number, which was about 24, 15, 16. So we actually picked it up for the TDI managed growth strategy, that long short strategy that we run for clients at about 24 and change. Closed at about 24.90. It was down about 13% the low today due to the fact that there was a 4 million share secondary offering that was pushed through. But oftentimes when we see those secondaries for a decent company, it actually turns around because people realize that, hey, you know what? it is dilutive to the earnings. But at the same time, what are they going to use that for? And if they use it for expansion and for opportunity in the future, or even retiring debt to clean up their balance sheets and get some debt off the books, it could be actually good for the business long term. So Funko is the name of the stock. And you?
I have three. I'm going for broke today.
All right, let me insert a couple of rows here. Okay.
I'm going to start with, and I'm only doing this because some insider bought $100 million worth of stock. And he is not a guy who buys, he's not a trader. I can't say, well, this guy's got a good track record. He's never done anything. And out of the blue, he's buying $100 million.
That's a lot of scratch.
Of Kraft Heinz.
Oh, that was some news out today. That's interesting because some people are dumping it. Okay, KFT? No, KF, what, Kraft?
KHC.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. KHC, I got it. Kraft Heinz Corp, down 4.5% today. Okay, got it.
Good time to go, to turn right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a curious one. Another guy's buying way too much of it. Advanced Drainage Systems, and this is a pure insider's play. There's no reason in the world. This, even the chart doesn't look that fabulous. WMS.
Advanced Digital Drainage Systems?
I didn't know digital was in his name.
No, it's not. I just made that up. Actually, it's Advanced Drainage Systems. I don't know where digital came from.
Where'd you get digital? In case the bit pump goes on and out of your computer, the drainage will go through the bit bypass. So we'll let that one just sit and see what happens. This could get us some red. That could be red next week. But this one here, now the next one is either going to be bumped off or bumped on. I mean, this is if you look at the chart, it's skyrocketing at the skyrocketing. It's up to $1.10 or something like that. This is a penny stock. I want to put 20% on it. And this is Constango Oil and Gas.
It's Constango or Contango?
Oh, it's Contango, yeah.
Okay.
Contango. MCF.
Yeah, that had a good day yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the symbol?
If you look at the long-term chart, this thing has been cratering for over a year.
What's the symbol?
MCF.
Oh, MCF. MCF, right.
And it's been really, it's not like a triangle that, you know, that. What's it called? A triangle descending. It's nothing like that. It's just like down. And then all of a sudden there's this action. And so, I don't know, some insider bought like $15 million worth for some unknown reason. And it's a buck. It's a penny stock. This one here, these things whipsaw real quick and I could be knocked out next week. All right. Kraft Heinz is the one that intrigues me the most of these three.
Well, I mean, there was a major... one of the major holders is Warren Buffett is one. And why can't I think of the name? And there's another major hedge fund that owns it. And they dumped a bunch of shares, which is interesting. The concern was, hey, if they're dumping, is Buffett dumping? Because Buffett and these guys were kind of close on the S3. No, that's not it. That was the only thing that happened today. Down 4.25%. Down to 28. So, I mean, that stock's definitely been a fallen angel. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad to see.
Well, it may be on its way back.
It may be. All right. Anything else that you want to promote, talk about, display, discuss?
Not really. I think we've got it all covered.
I think we do. Well, I will see you again the next week.
Okay.
All right. Ciao.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.